All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. So thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. I do want to share just a few announcements. And then after that, we'll take some prayer concerns and praises. And then we'll open in prayer in just a few moments. So a couple announcements. Really, some things we shared this morning. Again, don't forget about Operation Christmas Child is coming up. The month. Donated item is winter items. So that's going on this month. So I did see a couple things in there. So we got really one more Sunday before we transition into February. So if you would like to bring something in, please do that sooner than later. Again, everything's collected through the next every month until, well, October, and then we'll put everything together in November. So don't miss out on that. Also, just a reminder, we have the Hallelujah Quilters Craft Retreat. So this is not just for quilting. It's for any kind of craft that you might enjoy. And so again, they're adding a day this time. So instead of being a Friday and Saturday, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So giving one more option for people to come out and spend some time together. Bring all your own stuff. And it's kind of, again, open to the community. So if you know somebody that would enjoy something like this, please let them know. The ladies would love to have them join them. And so again, all the information is in the bulletin there. When you can bring the idea of bringing a snack, lunch for Friday, and then also potluck dinner on Thursday. So again, a lot of options there to have some fellowship. So come on out to that if you're interested. Just a reminder, we have our annual business meeting next week, right after evening service. Again, you have in your bulletin kind of the nomination form that shows you who's been nominated for what positions, and we encourage you to be praying over that, what the Lord's done over the last year. So excited to do that. Honestly, I'll be honest with you guys, annual business meeting and business meetings as a whole for the first, I don't know, few years that I was in ministry here, not my most enjoyable thing. Actually, I despised business meetings. And I told Sandra there was a time when we were considering, we didn't know I was a youth pastor and there was a chance that we might move on to another ministry, which we're not going to go down that road. But there was just a lot going on in the church at the time. And I told her, I said, if I ever started a church plant or went to another church, one of the first things I would try to do is get rid of business meetings. Like, I would do everything in my power to not have them. Nope, we're done. Now, that being said, it's because our business meetings that time lasted like 2.5 hours and people were yelling at each other and it just was not an enjoyable experience. However, the last 10, 12 years, 13 years, it's been amazing to share what God has been doing. And that's one of the things that we kind of introduced. We would leave business meetings thinking, man, I want to hear about all the good stuff God's doing in the church. And a lot of times business meetings were about kind of the negative things going on. And so we started talking like, we're just going to do a lot of praises. We're just going to keep praising the Lord for that. And we need to talk about business, of course, and all those things are fine. But it should be more praise heavy than it is complaining and whining and all this other stuff. So we've kind of really transitioned that a lot over the last 10, 12 years. And so I look forward to this time, and I hope you do as well. And so again, come on out next week. Again, if you're not a member of Northcombe Baptist Church, you're welcome to stay for the meeting to kind of observe and see how things are done. But obviously voting and commenting and all those things is reserved for members. And so again, next Sunday, don't miss out on that. Also, we have our Nerf night and show and tell night this Wednesday. So Olympians are doing their Nerf night. Gopher Buddies are doing their show and tell night. So you don't want to miss out on that. Again, be praying for a great turnout with that. And as is normal, seemingly this winter, there's a chance of snow on Sunday or Wednesday. And you guys know my theory on this, right? When's it going to snow? Wednesdays or Saturdays? Too late to get cleared for Sundays. That's what it's going to do. It'll start snowing Wednesday about 3 o'clock and Saturdays about 11, 12 o'clock at night. So, but right now they are calling for snow on Wednesday. Just so you know, our goal is to do everything possible to have service on Wednesday. Reminder, if you do not have our app and you're not on Facebook, it's going to be really hard to communicate with you that we're canceling a service. This is just in general. So please make sure you're on one of those two things that you can see if we do have to cancel. Again, we like to make that decision before 3 o'clock on Wednesday, and we'll try to do it as early on a Sunday as we can. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes, you know, between 5 and 6:30, things happen. So, but have one of those two things that you can understand what's going on there. But we really will do everything to always have service. Our goal, Sandra and I's goal, is kind of basically if we can get here, we're going to probably have church. If you don't hear anything, you don't see anything posted on Facebook, we're having church. So I know, like, this last week we had a few people asking, is there church? But just a reminder, if there isn't church, we will post that. If you go through this awesome winter that we're having with us out on that, cold and snow. So other than that, we also have our prayer adoption, so don't miss out on that. If you'd like to be praying for a family in the church and have your family prayed for, sign up at the Welcome Center. Again, one more Sunday for that, because it's going to begin the beginning of February. So don't miss out on that. And then Football Sunday, February 8th, we'd love for you to invite someone to join you. We're going to have an awesome time. We're going to get into the Word. We'll have a testimony time as well and do some fun stuff as well. And then right after, we are going to have our luncheon. So if you'd like to sign up to bring a dish to pass, please do so. We'd love to have you be a part of that. And again, this is for anyone and everyone. So and we were just talking about this. Maybe you're not into sports. Totally get that. Not a problem. But maybe your neighbor, coworker, family member, friend is into that. And this would be a great way to kind of introduce them to our ministry here. So be praying about that, looking for opportunities to do that. Just a reminder, too, hall monitor meeting we will have right after the morning service this next Sunday in room 105. All right. Okay. I think that's everything. Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Let me follow up on that then. So basically we had somebody in the church, a couple of families in the church asked us if we had heard of Right Now Media, which Right Now Media is basically just a Christian media platform where they just have tons and tons and tons of different Bible studies for all different age groups and everything you can think of. They probably have a study for it. And so this family was looking to do something on like an in-home Bible study. And they had come across it and decided they were going to use one of these studies and said, hey, have you ever heard of this? And I said, well, yeah, we have heard of it. It's been around for a while. And they just asked, well, is this something the church would be interested in doing? Because basically if the church got an account with this platform, then anyone in the church can access the content. Is the idea. And so you can go on under our username and password, which we would make known, and you can access a Bible study about this or that or whatever. You can do it individually. You can do it as a group. We can utilize different resources there be for something like that. If it's like one or two families that are interested, probably not worth the doing it. But if there's a lot of people that are interested, we could make it available. And I didn't get into this morning for time's sake, but obviously there is a subscription cost to that the church would be paying a subscription cost.
Would that be, I'm sorry, I'm not tech.
You're fine.
Would that be like you would use it on your phone or
It'd be on a phone, iPad, smart TV, something like that. Yep. You can access content through all those things. And basically what it would be is like, so some of the studies we've done for the men and women's Bible studies where there's like a DVD and you sit down and you watch a person teach and then there's like worksheets and stuff, you would have access to that content just digitally or through that.
So what we did, I think we had it or had some kind of a trial.
Yep. Ago. Yeah, like 10 years ago.
We did it on like a smart TV, like an app on a smart TV. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So what we were wanting to find out is we were talking about it because somebody approached the leadership and said, hey, would you be interested? And because there is a subscription cost, which we're fine doing that, we wanted to make sure it was worth the cost if there's interest. Now, one of the things I did say this morning is, and at the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet for that. It's just an interest. It's not committing to anything. And if the church does this, there's no cost to the members. Nobody has to pay anything, nothing like that. There's also a little card there that has the website and stuff on it. One of the things I will reiterate again is this platform has lots and lots and lots of different Christian teachers and authors. They are evangelical, and they do have a statement of faith that they try to make sure the content matches up with that. But that being said, you may go on there and find an author that you don't personally care for or like their view on A, B, or C. So we understand that. So just kind of know that when you go into it, you may find authors you like and authors you don't like. But then it would just be a matter of, well, I'm not going to do anything with that author. I'll stick with this one or whatnot. So as you kind of think, we just kind of want to get more interest on that before we make a decision to kind of, have an account and all that stuff. So no, I was going to get to that. So I'm glad you mentioned it. Awesome. Any other questions about that or any other announcements or upcoming events? No? All right. Well, we'll open up in some prayer requests and praise. And so does anyone have a prayer request they'd like to share or a praise? Lynn.
My sister starts chemo tomorrow. So just that she keeps trusting God and isn't scared. And
Absolutely. Let's be praying for Lynn's sister. Starts chemo tomorrow. Praying for peace and comfort. Praying that she's able to stand strong in the Lord and in her faith. And that it's effective. Right? That the treatments are effective. And the Lord will use that to bring healing. Or he heals supernaturally. Whatever he chooses. And we want to leave that in the Lord's hands. Right? And then be praying for obviously Lynn and the family. As well as they walk through this season with her sister. Whenever somebody's going through cancer like that, it's not just a person going through it, it's the whole family, right? So I want to be praying for that.
She had cancer stage 4 for quite a while. And shortly after Christmas, she fell, broke her hip, and there's just a lot of, fiascos for Dorothy and her family because she's kind of recommitted, realized, and she's professes to be a believer and she acts and talks like she is. Her children, however, she didn't raise them to know the Lord, and there's a lot of conflict in the family with decisions, and it's just a hot mess.
Okay. Let's be praying for Randy's cousin, Dorothy, not only for her own healing, but also the fact of a praise that she knows the Lord and is has that faith, that confidence in the Lord. But let's be praying for the family as the children not being raised in the Lord and different mindsets and points of view can really, they come to light during seasons like this, especially with decision-making and those kind of things. So let's be praying for the family, for wisdom and guidance and comfort and all those good things, and that they will be able to come together as a family and make the best decisions for Dorothy and not necessarily maybe putting themselves in the front seat, if that makes sense. So let's be praying for that family as well. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? Yeah, Dennis. Okay.
And I went to see him about 3 months ago, and he was doing fine. But I've been trying to call him, and I can't get a hold of him. And, you know, he was at home and everything. And I don't know what's going on. But, Richard Holbrook is the
name. Okay. Okay. So let's just be praying that he's okay, that you're able to get in contact with him. And
you know, it's been like control for several years. Then all of a sudden he said it wasn't working anymore.
Gotcha. Okay.
He was, the day I saw him, he was great. You know, I mean, we went back, took him out to dinner and everything.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's be praying for Richard, praying that things are okay, that Dennis is able to get contact with him and touch base and see how he's doing. Pray that, that's all going to be resolved and in a timely manner. I want to be praying for that. Absolutely. I know that's concerning when you can't get a hold of somebody like that, right? It kind of makes your heart race a little bit for sure. So anyone else, a prayer request or a praise? Yeah, Terry. Okay.
She's looking at radiation oncology and regular chemotherapy.
Okay.
Not a good
help. Okay.
And also pray for Shelley Shearer. Last time I talked to her, she said that she may have to see an open heart surgeon or a transplant surgeon.
Okay. Okay. So being prayer for Sanithia. I always want to say Cynthia, but Sanithia, and just for healing and comfort as she can walks this road with cancer as well. And then for Shelley Shear, many of you know that she's had some heart issues here. Oh, goodness, probably the last quite a few months now, and has had some other things that have happened. And so they're trying to resolve it. But now she's going to be meeting with a open heart surgeon specialist to try to see what they need to do, or even a transplant situation. So be praying for Shelley Shear as she continues to walk that road. Anyone else? Yes, Avi.
It's really important that I keep my focus on him right now.
Amen.
Because I'm walking through something that's not fair or just. And so it would be really easy to get angry and want to be vengeful and all these other things. But I just need to keep my mind fixed on the Lord. So the other thing is for a housing situation. I'm going to need somewhere to live in the next probably 60 days.
wisdom.
The Lord,
yeah.
I mean, the Lord obviously knows where he's going to put me, but just that it would work out well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Be praying for Avi as she walks through the season with situation going on, for wisdom and guidance and direction to the Lord. Focus on him. And we know he's with us, but circumstances and situations tend to want to blind that truth, right? So we got to keep our eyes on him. And then for housing situation, absolutely be praying for that. The Lord will open the door, right place, right time, all those good things. Absolutely. Thank you, Avi, for sharing that. Britt. Oh, no. Okay. So the Welch family. Okay. Be praying for them. The Lord will just bring resolution and calmness and peace and use this time to maybe mend some broken fences and do some work there. Absolutely. Which he can do during seasons like this, of course. Yeah. Using you guys to speak truth. Absolutely. And then pray for this family in KPAC, had a house fire, lost their home and their vehicle. And so be praying for the Lord to bring about funds. And were there children involved? Well, I'll be praying for that. I can't. That's one of those things I just can't imagine how you walk through something like that. But we want to be praying the Lord will just intervene. If you do hear of something, because you're more connected over there, that our church can do to help, let me know for sure if it's, I don't know, clothing needs or whatever they might need. You know, obviously, I wish I'd just be like, hey, here's a house. Go move into that. But I don't have that for them. But anything we can do, let us know. Okay. Sure. Yeah, anything at all that we can do, we'll bring food in, we'll get clothes together, we'll do whatever we can. So, but I know really the big thing is a place to stay, because we can give them all the clothes in the world, but if they don't have anywhere to put the clothes, it doesn't help them. So, but yeah, let's be praying for that, for sure, that situation. I can't imagine. Anyone else, a prayer request or a praise? Yeah, TJ. Okay. Okay. What's her name again? Betty. Okay. And she's the one that lives there for a long time now. Her husband passed. Yep. Be praying for Betty, a neighbor of Danielle and TJ's, older woman, widowed, but we want to be praying for healing and comfort there, having some health concerns. Just a praise. I know I mentioned this morning, but praising the Lord that we were able to be helpful to our missionary, the Layers. We were able to give $5,000 to their building project, and he was very, very thankful for that and so appreciative of that and all the Lord is doing. I forgot to mention this morning, which I did write a little note here for me to remember, and I still forgot this. This isn't on the note, though, so it's I forgot when I wrote the note what I read the day before that. But anyway, I did share this with Pastor Greg the other day. He said, so they've been doing this for 2 months now, right, raising funds and all that. He said in 2 months they've raised $50,000. So huge praise for that. Absolutely. And excited to see how the Lord's going to work there. Now they got a long way to go. I think the land was like 120 or 160,000, something like that. The building's going to be another couple hundred thousand probably. So we're talking a long way to go, but the Lord is showing up huge. And so I want to be praising the Lord for that as well. Sandra?
That was what I was not remembering what they needed.
Sure. Yeah, I can't remember the whole project. I think the whole project was like maybe between like 500,000 and 600,000, something like that, maybe 400,000 to 500,000. But they're literally looking at it in stages. Like, let's just buy the land. And then once we buy the land outright, we can move forward. So I know the Lord's going to do it. I know he's going to provide all that they need. Just knowing how God can do anything he wants, right? Amen? He can do anything. So I know the Lord's going to provide. I'm just so thankful that we get to be a part of that. And again, I'm so thankful for our leadership, our board. When I go in with things like years ago, I'll never forget, we were blessed with a box of food and it came at the right time. Amen. And isn't God amazing? You're down kind of, I don't know, might have to eat some more of that stuff and this stuff and not have anything else. And a box of groceries come out. And I'll never forget, I went in the dining room, I sat it on the table and we were just praising the Lord for it. And the kids were young and I'm pulling all the stuff out. Well, then once we get it all out, I start putting some of the stuff back in the box. And Sandra's like, what are you doing? Why are you putting back some box? I said, well, we don't really need all of this. We can take half and give this half to somebody else. And she's like, oh, no, we're not. I was like, she's like, we need all that food. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she was right. We really did. But that's just how my brain's wired. I'm like, here, you can have it. You want it? Here, take this, take that. And so our board has to kind of reel me in a little bit. They're like, well, Pastor, we do have, you know, bills to pay. We should probably pay the mortgage. And I'm like, all right, fine. We'll pay the mortgage. But I'm just so thankful for a board that is willing to be generous. And to, when I come in with saying, hey, let's do this, they're like, yeah, let's do that. That's amazing to see. So, and then also just a praise and praying for Camp Michael. We talked about this a little bit this morning too, that we were able to give towards their repairs, $1,500. They didn't have a dollar amount they requested. We just prayerfully threw it out there and that's the number that came back from the board. And so we were able to do that. And so, so thankful for that. They're doing a lot of repairs, and he said it's looking really, really good. And they're going to send some pictures out here soon to see it all improve. So I'm excited to see that. So, but be praying for them. The reason this happened with Camp Michael, and again, I didn't get into this, they're trying doing some more winter activities out there. Usually they shut the camp down and it's, you know, everything shut off. Well, they wanted to do some more winter activities. Well, in doing that, they realized some of the things that needed to be improved and obviously a water line breaking and all of that. So it was because they were trying to do ministry that these things happened. It wasn't just like they just, you know, weren't taking care of things. So praising the Lord for the opportunity to be a blessing to them. So keep praying for them. The Lord just keep doing a work through that little camp there. Connected to our church, Dave Aldridge just told me the story a few times that Michael, who Camp Michael is named after, was kind of friends with Dave and many in the community and even kind of had a connection to the youth group at North Goodland years and years and years ago. So praising the Lord for that to be a blessing to them. So they actually went out and got a lot of the stuff kind of by faith and started working on things. There's a couple other churches that either took love offerings or gave to the funds. I don't know what was given into the amount, but I know, I think it was like 15,000, something like that for the total repair is what I think they said. But I know that some other churches have also, since that was told to me between then and now, there's been people that have given to that. So I don't know what the remainder is. And they probably shouldn't tell me because I'm going to be like, we can take care of that. What do you need? 10 grand? Let's do it. We're good. So, thank you for asking that because I know it's still probably some work to do there for sure. So, all right. Well, anyone else before we pray? Amen. Yeah. Valleys. Yeah. Oh, amen. Yeah, amen. That's amazing. I'm so thankful to hear about how well he's doing and the Lord's continuing to work there and has brought restoration and all those good things. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah, praying that they'll, you know, find a church and he'll get connected to a local church they can get fed and all that. But yeah, praise the Lord. Technology is amazing. I love that we can do that and just encourage people in the word and stuff. That's awesome. So very cool. Well, praise the Lord. All right, well, let's pray. And then we'll jump into Matthew 11. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, so thankful for your love, your grace, just all that you are, not just the things you do, but the very character of who you are as our Lord and Savior, your attributes that are not just expressions of your emotions and your desires, but it's who you are. And we thank you for being a God that is love, being a God that is holy, being a God that is just and is merciful. And so we can never express to you with our human words and our ability to, whether it be the spoken word or even through music, to express our gratitude and our thankfulness to who you are and what you've done and how you continue to show your love to us. We are so undeserving of it. It's never been merited, never will be merited from you. but yet you give it freely to us. And so we just are so thankful for that, Lord. And I'm so thankful that we get to gather tonight, Lord, to be in your word, to discuss all these things and to hear just what you're doing, not only through praises of how you've allowed us as a church to be a blessing to others and to whether it be ministries or missionaries or one another, Lord, whatever it is. I'm so thankful for it, Lord. Just thankful for the compassion, the love, the desire to bless one another, Lord, in the body. Lord, just hearing time and again how people express that they felt loved here. They feel blessed to be a part of this body, that people in the church have been so kind to them, loving, friendly, generous. Lord, even the praise for the baby shower yesterday and hearing how thankful the family was that they were able to do it here, and just the way other women in the church stepped up and just helped and served. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. But also, Lord, we know that even in the prayer concerns, you're working and you are moving. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that we can come together and just with openness and Lord, really transparency, just share our hearts and share our concerns, our requests, Lord, and bring them before your throne. And we know that the Bible says that we are to pray for one another, Lord, which is difficult to do when we don't have those relationships and we don't know how to pray for one another. So I'm so thankful that we can have times like this to just share our hearts and our needs, but also, Lord, the needs of others in the community or in our family. So we pray for all those that are under this need for healing, Lord, from cancer and different things. We pray you work in a mighty way. Lord, we lift up this family, this single mom and her children and K-PAC and going through this just a horrible thing, Lord, to, as in any way we can, to just show the love of Christ. Lord, I just lift up and I pray for Britt's brother. Lord, I just pray that you'd work in that situation. I pray you'd use the word to just either draw him to Christ, open his eyes for the gospel, and disciple him in your word. And Lord, whether it be through Dale and Britt, whether it be through his wife, whether it be through somebody in his community, whether it be through a simple link that's sent through text that he's able to engage with a sermon, Lord, whatever it is, I pray your word would go forth and do what only it can do by the working of your spirit to woo us to repentance and plant those seeds of the gospel that we would come to Christ and grow in Christ. And I pray that for him. Lord, I pray for Avi right now. Lord, I just pray that you would draw her close to you, Lord. I'm so thankful that in the fire, there was another in the fire standing with us, Lord, that we don't endure those things alone. But Lord, the fire is still the fire. And so I know it's not a comfortable situation or a good circumstance. And again, Lord, sometimes we find ourselves in valleys because of the decisions of others. And so we just pray that you would just comfort her, draw her close to you, set her eyes upon you, that she may set her gaze, fix her eyes upon Christ, who is the author and finisher of her faith. And Lord, that you would just keep your hand upon her. I pray that you would bless her endeavors of the next steps, Lord. And that includes, Lord, opening the door for a home, a housing situation, whatever it may be. Lord, that you would be glorified there. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for how you lead, guide, and direct. And I do pray in all these other requests, Lord, I pray for Richard, that you would just allow him to reach out to Dennis and have a connection there, Lord, that Dennis can be comforted to know that he's okay. And whatever is going on, Lord, that you would just bring a resolution there. I think of the Welch family, Lord, just with this passing, I pray you'd bring calmness and Lord, let this be a moment where they can look at these things that have maybe caused division and put those things to rest and move past those things, realizing life is too short. Life is too valuable to be consumed with those kind of things. And so, Lord, I pray you just work in a mighty way there. Father, I pray that you just continue to be with our time together tonight, Lord, and all these other requests, that you would be glorified, that your name would be magnified, and that we would draw close to you as we learn more about your word. Father, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are in Matthew chapter 11. So this is week two, I believe. I think it's week two of Matthew 11. So you already have the handout if you were here last week for sure. I don't think this is week three, but it wouldn't surprise me if I spent 3 weeks on this many verses. If you have Matthew 11, the ministry of Christ, that's the newest handout that you'll need. I do have some extras. So if you do not have one, I can get you one. So who would need one? All right. Yep. There you are. Can you pass one down to Dennis? Thank you. Thank you. That's it, right? I'm out. So that hopefully is it. Oh, you're fine. All right. So Matthew chapter 11. So if you weren't with us last week, and just a quick kind of summary, Matthew chapter 10 deals with what? What is Matthew chapter 10? What was that dealing with when we covered Matthew chapter 10? What's that? Okay, the apostles, yep. What was Christ kind of doing with the apostles? Okay, yep, he's preparing them to be sent out. He commissioned them, right? He starts the chapter by calling, Matthew starts the chapter by identifying them as disciples. And then a couple of verses later, he calls them apostles. And so up to that point, how were they involved in Jesus' ministry? Like, how would you kind of classify their involvement in Jesus' ministry up until chapter 10? Yeah, more observing, right? They're involved. They're there. They're part of it. But they're more watching. They're more kind of just observing. And it's a really an act of, like, practical training, right? It's kind of on-the-job training. Then in chapter 10, Jesus calls them to engage in ministry. So now they're not just kind of watching, observing. They're actually being put into the ministry. They're kind of being sent out, as Dale said, to do this ministry of preaching the kingdom. That's the primary call. Now, they're also going to bring healing. They're going to cast out demons. But the primary reason they're doing that is what? To affirm the message of the kingdom. The kingdom has come. This is the message of the kingdom. You need to repent and trust in Christ. Avi.
How long do you think it was in your period when they were called to follow Christ to when they were left out of mission?
I would say, in my opinion, I would say it's probably pretty early on. I would say within 6 months to a year is what most people have probably guessed. So as far as that goes, I mean, the timeline depends on how you follow that. But yeah, I would say within probably 6 months or so. Yes. And remember, Matthew's desire is not to give us so much a chronological account as it is more of an overview of the teaching ministry of Christ and how that played into ministry, practical ministry. Obviously, the Sermon on the Mount takes up quite a few chapters and so on and so forth. So it's pretty early on, but there was still a window where they were called into ministry and yet kind of did more observational ministry. But Jesus put them into mission pretty quick. And then I love that he would kind of send them out and then we'd come back and there'd be some more learning and then sending them out and more learning, right? Because ultimately we know, as we've ministered for Christ, we look back and we go, man, I was sent out in the ministry, if you want to say that term, to minister for Christ, but I didn't know what I know now. And I'm so thankful that God sends us with what? All we need to know is Jesus is Savior, right? Preach the gospel, share the gospel, share how Christ saved you and redeemed you. And this is what the word says. But as we grow in Christ, we realize we gain in knowledge and wisdom of the grace of God. But the core of our message still remains, right? The core of the message has never really changed. It's Jesus saves, receive Christ, repent of your sins. But yet as we grow in our faith, man, it kind of takes on more, how do I want to say this? More meat, more. It's more fulfilled, more satisfying. I don't know how to describe it, but there's more of a fullness to the ministry. The longer we walk with Christ and the more we see him work, we understand, okay, it's still basically the same message, but man, look at how he's used all these things in my life to glorify his name. So it's again, as we grow. What's that? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. It's kind of more engaging. It's kind of more real, right? Interesting phrase or kind of opening to chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. So Jesus sends out the apostles, the disciples, in twos, and he doesn't take the time off. He doesn't say, okay, you guys go do ministry. I'll stay back here and just kind of rest. Now, I'm not saying we don't rest, but Jesus doesn't take a break. He goes out. And he does exactly what he just told the disciples to do. And I love that Jesus always leads from the front, right? Jesus always says, follow me. which he has to then be leading us from the front. Some leaders lead from the back. It's more of this driving leadership, like kind of a forcing leadership. Go do, go do, go do. Jesus says, I've done, I've laid an example before you, now follow in that example. But he doesn't just say follow example, and then once they start, he stops. He continues to do the work of the Father, which isn't surprising because that's what he told his parents in the temple when he was kind of forgotten by Mary and Joseph, which again, as far as parent fails go, forgetting the Son of God, pretty big one, pretty big one. And there's always a story I think of about our former pastor's son when he was forgotten at church a couple times. But anyway, that always comes to my mind. And I'm not comparing Austin to Jesus. Trust me, that's not, and his family would understand why. But I do love Austin. He's a great guy. But anyway, so this whole thing, Jesus is saying to his parents, what? I am here to do my Father's will. This is what I'm here to do. And so it didn't matter whether it was sitting by the well and talking with the woman of Samaria, or if it was having that private conversation with Nicodemus at night, or preaching in the synagogues, or healing on the Sabbath day, whatever it was, he says, if my Father's working, I'm working. So he's going out into this area. Now, there is some, not debate, that's the wrong word, but some assumptions about, was Jesus ministering near and where the disciples were? He's in the cities of Galilee. So were the disciples in some of the similar areas? And so is Jesus kind of like ministering nearby? We don't know that for sure. But in any case, he's ministering to these areas. Now, the passage turns to an honoring for John the Baptist in verses 2 through 11. This is because John sent disciples to inquire if Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus has this amazing interaction with these disciples of John. Again, Jesus answers John's question by quoting from Isaiah. And then in verses 9 through 11, we see Jesus honors John as the greatest prophet. Remember, John the Baptist would be considered the last Old Testament prophet. He says basically the law, the prophets went to John, and then from John forward, or Christ forward, it's now the kingdom. So John the Baptist would fit more in the mindset of an Isaiah or an Elijah, or an Elisha, more of that style of ministry than we would think of as a New Testament apostle. And we tend to think of them as two different things. I mean, John the Baptist living out in the wilderness, you know, dressed in camel skin, the wild locust and honey and all that. That sounds a lot. So there's a different dynamic there. But jump into verse 12 of Mark chapter 11. And we see here that Jesus continues to minister through a call to repentance. Through a call to repentance. So verses 12 through 24, so we're going to break this up a little bit. It's a lot of verses. So we'll go down through verse maybe 17. Yeah, let's do 12 through 17 and then 18 through 24. Who'd like to read this evening? 12 through 17, who'd like to read that? Anyone's welcome to read. Okay, Julie. And then 18 through 24. Avi, I saw your hand a minute. Okay, yep, Avi's got that. All right, whenever you're ready, ma'am.
12, right?
Yes, ma'am.
17.
Yep.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.
For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be
All right, thank you guys so much. Anybody that tells you Jesus was like the super soft-spoken teacher has never read this passage. It's pretty harsh-sounding stuff, but we have to back up and say, what is the heart behind these words? It's not Jesus just being mean, right? He's not just being rude or mean or jerky. He's being honest, and he's calling them to repentance. In verses 12 through 24, we see a lot of different things here. We see a reiteration of the violence that has happened to God's people, both in the Old Testament and we know will happen in the New. That's not surprising because he tells his apostles in chapter 10 that when he sends them out, he's sending them out as sheep among wolves. There will be persecution, both from the world and from the religious elite. And so this is not surprising. And then he pauses and say, this is where he's calling them to understanding. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that sounds really familiar to other passages, other moments of teaching where Jesus was teaching. And what the point is, if you want to hear, if you desire to hear, if you're willing to humble yourself and hear these words, you can hear them. But what's the problem? The religious leaders didn't really want to hear this. They were hard-hearted in their sin and in their religion and their desires, and they refused to hear. And then in verse 26, we see an interesting parallel made of this generation. Repent of your childish ways is really what Jesus is saying. This is a negative analogy in your notes there, number one, about the generation of Israelites in his day. Scripture uses pros and negative examples of children or childlike behavior. We see this in 1 Corinthians 13, Mark chapter 10, both positive and negative. There's ways that childish could be seen as a negative, childish ways of thinking, but then we have a positive of childlike faith. Childlike faith is not childish faith. There's a difference. Childlike faith is that simplicity, that willingness to put your faith and trust in Christ in a simple way, as a child trusts simply. Childish faith is immature and not encouraged in Scripture. Jesus uses a common Jewish phrase, to what shall I compare? He's saying, to what do I compare this generation? In this case, he compares his generation to children playing in the marketplace. Imagine children just sitting down in the dirt playing or kind of messing around while their parents shop. That's the idea. They're just playing and enjoying that time. Jesus is pictured as the one playing the flute, and others did not dance. John is pictured as singing a dirge or a mournful song, and other children did not mourn. So he's saying, there's joy, no dancing, call for mourning, no mourning. He's saying, we did both, and you responded the same way, in a negative way. The Jews accused John the Baptist of being too restrictive. That's what Jesus says, right? He didn't eat, he didn't drink. Now, did he eat and drink something? Of course, he consumed food and he drank things. What he's saying is he didn't overdo it. He didn't overindulge. He didn't engage in feasts and celebrations and those kind of things. Very restrictive, right? If he lived in the wilderness and most likely was of the group that he was very restrictive in his diet, right? And yet here we have the Jews accuse him of being too restrictive and Jesus of being too excessive. It's like, well, Jesus is the one going to these feasts and these parties with publicans and sinners, and that's wrong. And John the Baptist is so restrictive, he's got a demon. And so it's like both are being compared to this negative viewpoint. And that's what Jesus is saying. John came in one way, you denounced him. I came in another way, you denounced me. You're just children. You don't understand what is happening here. And that's why I love that he says at the end of that, that both taught with wisdom, and that wisdom was evidenced by their works. In the King James, it says, by wisdom is known by her children. It's the idea that the fruit of the teaching, the fruit of the lifestyle is wise, is true. So you can say John had a demon, but is that really what we saw? You can say Jesus is too excessive and a glutton and all this, but is that really what we saw? No, that's not really truth. So again, this idea of accusing Jesus and John of being these things, yet they were just ignoring the wisdom and the truth, which was evidenced by their deeds. Jesus calls them to repent in the face of the mighty works of God. He says, man, you've seen some great things, and you've seen some great miracles and some great moments that I've done things for you, and God has moved in mighty ways, and you need to understand that these things are evidence of the fact that I am Messiah. You need to repent in the face of these mighty works. The word woe here refers to a condition of deep destitution, suffering, or pain. Woe to you, cities, that have seen these great works and yet have denied Christ, have denied the truth. Jesus proclaims that had the miracles and teaching that these cities experienced were done in the land of Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon, which are cities that we know from the Old Testament, cities that were under judgment of the Lord, those cities would have remained. He says they would have repented with ashes and sackcloth. That's pretty incredible to think about. And he says the day of judgment is going to be better for them than for you. Why? You have knowledge. You have evidence working before you, God in the flesh, and yet you deny it. It's interesting to note that Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum are now just ruins. But other cities in the region around them that have been there for a lot longer or as long are bustling cities. The cities that Jesus said, woe unto you, this condition of suffering, pain, they're ruins. They're not active cities today. The Moody Commentary writes, well, when Jesus pronounces a woe, ruin is the result. And these cities, imagine this for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, set up his, no, you don't fit the mold. You don't fit what I think you should be. I'm not even going to recognize you as Messiah. So what does Jesus do? He calls them to repentance. The day of judgment is coming. That's really what he's saying. There will be a day that you will be judged and you need to repent. Otherwise, the only outcome is ruin. Now, Jesus was not literally calling an actual city to repentance, meaning the brick and mortar and all that. What was he doing? He was calling the people to repentance. So we see Jesus continues to minister through a call to repentance, but also we see Jesus continues to minister through an invitation to know the Father. An invitation to know the Father. Verses 25 through 30. One more volunteer that would like to read. Verses 25 through 30. Who'd like to read that for us? Jeff, awesome, thank you. Awesome. Thank you, sir. So here we have Jesus goes from seemingly kind of a harsh teaching to now what? An open invitation. So who are these that can come unto me, come unto the Lord? Those who have the ears to hear. If you have the ears to hear, you're going to hear the harshness. You're going to repent. You're going to come unto him. And when you come unto him, what will he do? He will reveal the Father to you. It's this amazing way that Jesus works, where he calls us to repentance after telling us only those that I will reveal the Father to can repent and come to me. But then he says, but all of you in this crowd, you can come. Isn't God so gracious? The Pharisee or the harlot, the publican or the religious leader could equally come to Christ if they would repent of their sins and trust in Christ. And here we see Jesus thanks the Father. He begins by thanking the Father that the Father has hidden these truths from the arrogant and the proud. One commentary writes this, Jesus thanks his Father, God, for hiding the truth from those who are wise and understanding according to the world. His implication is that those who are arrogant, those who arrogantly assume that their own wisdom will miss the truth because they aren't really looking for it. Instead, God will reveal truth to those the world dismisses as children. Do you see how Jesus is carrying this theme? He just called the group children a few minutes ago. But now he says, but if you come in a childlike faith, he's still comparing children idea, you can be redeemed. Jesus acknowledges that he and the Father are one, and the Son can reveal the Father to whoever he pleases. This is what he tells Philip when Philip says, show us the Father. And he says, you've been with me all this time and you don't realize you've seen him in me. Like if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I love what Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown in their commentary write about Jesus' statement. regarding the knowledge the Father and the Son have of one another. They say this, what a saying is this, that the Father and the Son are mutually and exclusively known to each other. A higher claim of equality with the Father cannot be conceived. Either then, we have here one of the revolting assumptions, one of the most revolting assumptions ever uttered, or the proper divinity of Christ should be to Christians clear a definitive statement that he is God. So many atheists, well, Jesus never said, I am God, worship me. He actually said he is God quite often. And he says it so clearly here that even as Christians who struggle with understanding, are they really one? What is the Trinity? Here we see they are one. And either Jesus was making an assumption that is driven from insanity and craziness, or he really is one with the Father. Jesus calls all who are weary to humble themselves and come to him. And when we do this, he provides two things, rest and a yoke that is easy. First, rest, a fulfillment to Israel from the Son of David, also a promise to all who believe through the Spirit, John 14:27. A yoke that is easy. This is referring to his burden is light, but not effortless. Exchange the yoke of law and self and trying to perform with the yoke of grace and mercy in Christ. That yoke is easy. It is light. But as one author says, it's not effortless. It requires us to follow him and to put in the work. Jewish people described living under obedience to the law as having a yoke upon them. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees made that load even heavier by adding man-made requirements and regulations on top of the law of Moses. We see this in Matthew 23:4. One author noted, anyone who tries to live the ethic of the Sermon on the Mount knows the requirements are agonizingly difficult. But they are easy and light in contrast to the heavy burden of the Pharisees, precisely because he is gentle and humble in heart, and, as the suffering servant, bears his people's sins. And it's not easy to be a follower of Christ in the world today. And it's impossible without the Spirit of God working in us, the Word before us, the church around us. But as we walk in Christ, we know how difficult that is with all the things the Lord does for us and how he equips us. And yet that difficulty is so much easier than the agonizing weight of trying to do it ourselves and make God love us through our works. It is impossible. And so comparatively, it is easy to carry the yoke that Christ offers. And when we are walking in Christ, he gives us rest. Even an Old Testament example we talked about last week with Elijah, running in fear, scared for his life, fearful of a woman that, by the way, had no real ability to do what she said she wanted to do. And when you study it out, Jezebel, most likely, most scholars would say, she wouldn't even have been able to fulfill her threat. Because the people have already turned back in great numbers to God. Had she gone after Elijah, the people would have revolted against her. And so it was really an empty threat that Jezebel laid out there. But Elijah, in fear, ran. And how does God respond? With rebuke and anger and frustration? No, he sends his angels to minister. Because every single one of us need a season of rest. I'm not saying necessarily inactivity. His yoke, and he gives us his rest. The chapter concludes with two commands. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What are the commands? To take and to learn. While we unpacked that when we take this yoke through salvation, we discover his rest, we also begin a process of learning of Christ through the Spirit. So we took the yoke upon us, and the moment we receive Christ, our Lord and Savior, he gives us his rest, and now we endeavor to learn of him, to learn of who he is and his call over our lives. I love what Warren Wiersbe writes, and if Anthony was here, he would tease me about this because he always teases whenever I bring up Warren Wiersbe. He's like, that's on the Pastor John bingo card. Like, you're going to bring that up at some point. But Warren Wiersbe writes this, as we learn more about him, we find a deeper peace because we trust him more. Life is simplified. I love this. Life is simplified and unified around the person of Christ. Life is simplified and unified. So it doesn't matter what you're talking about. Your career, your relationships, your walk with Christ, whatever it is. raising children, overseeing grandchildren, whatever it is, when you center your life, and listen to me now, Jesus is not one of the things that we look to in our lives. And I've heard people talk about this in regards to even marriage. You know, they'll talk about all the things that make a successful marriage, a healthy marriage, and they'll say, we got to have communication, trust, forgiveness, and then they'll say, Jesus, as though he's just one of the bullet points. Now, for the follower of Christ, no matter where we are in life, no matter what the situation is, Jesus is life, Colossians says. He's not one of the bullet points to have a healthy life, happy life, successful life. He's life. And if we center our lives around that and we just endeavor to learn more of him, I think we'll be more gracious to those around us. We'll serve more, because what did Jesus model? Serving. I think we'll love prayer more than we ever have because of Christ, because we understand that Jesus is there for us and he's guiding us and he wants to guide them and bring them in. And he loves bringing children unto himself. He says, let the children come unto me. And we'll see that. I mean, just everything you can think about, when we center it around Christ, life is simplified and unified. And it's easy. It's not easy, but it's easy comparatively, because if you ever try to do it on your own, you know instantly how much more difficult that is. And the problem is, we have so many Christians, and I've fallen for this trick as well, this trap, this lie. We have so many Christians that are trying to live the Christian life in their strength. And then they scratch their head and go, why am I so frustrated? Why am I so upset? Why do I feel so tired? Because you're doing it in your strength. And you're not unified and centered in Christ. You're unified and centered in yourself. What you want, what I desire, my wants, my demands, my expectations. Oh, no, 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 no. We simplify. Lord, what would you have for me today? How can I serve you today? Lord, how can I serve those you've put around me today for your glory? Is it easy comparatively to doing it on our own? Yes, but it also takes work. And so I just want to encourage you guys tonight. I love that aspect to this. We take the burden, we take the yoke of Christ, and we do so joyfully because he died in our place and he carried the burden for us. And then we endeavor to learn more about him every single day. And are you going to be perfect? No. Are you going to mess up? Yes. But every day, learn a little more. And the more you learn of him, the more you'll worship him, the deeper your affections will go for him. And I believe the stronger we'll live for Christ in this world. Because I can tell you right now, where I've stumbled and I've fallen short as a follower of Christ, it was when I took my eyes off of Jesus, not when I was actively pursuing Christ. And so again, we have to recognize that and endeavor for those things. Go ahead.
Take his yoke.
Amen. Yes.
Without us, because we flub it up.
Yes.
We mess it up, flub it up. We're like little kids dropping things on the
yes.
floor.
Yep. Yep.
The baking process.
And, yes.
But yet, it's amazing that he lets us do it.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. It's a blessing that he lets us serve alongside him as imperfectly as we do it. Absolutely. But I love that the reason for that is that he ultimately gets all the glory. Right? Because when I see God do something great and someone says, oh, I, you know, this or that thing, it's like, well, that wasn't me, right? It has to go to him because I messed it up with him, let alone without him. I don't know where we'd be. But any other thoughts or comments? I know we're over time, but I love to open it up there. Sandra and the Navi.
I was thinking this morning in junior church, I taught on, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
Obeying the king. But it was like, you can look at the perspective, you can look at it like it was probably a hard, it could be looked at as a hard decision, like, oh, I'm going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. But then if you just make it, like, it's an easy decision if your perspective is that I'm going to obey the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's an easy decision. We have the right perspective. I love that. Because, yeah, it might make us stand out and we might suffer some things for it. But at the end of the day, if I'm here to please him, and that's my goal.
And they knew, like, mm-hmm. it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It became something so easy to them.
Yep.
Yeah. They didn't have stress about it.
Right. Amen. And I love what you said. It puts the burden on the Lord to do what the Lord's going to do, not on them, right? I love that. Absolutely. Avi.
I was just kind of thinking when you were talking about, you know, like God getting obviously the glory in my specific circumstance. You know, it's funny because, like, there are some steps that other people are definitely advising me to take that I'm just not able to. But I'm kind of excited because, like, that just means it's kind of like the Gideon situation, you know, like there's 300 men against all of these, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the battle is the Lord's.
Yes.
And
amen. Yep.
And I'm kind of excited to see in some ways like how this is all going to turn out, like in a weird way, because I just kind of had chills about the whole thing because of just like things that are happening that I know that like anything that happens is going to be because of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind
yes.
of like, okay, let's just see what happens.
Yeah. It gives you a whole different perspective on all things work together for good. And like not the good we always want or what we think, but it's his good because he's glorified and we're blessed. Mm-hmm.
And he shows himself who he is, it bolsters our desire to know him more, trust him more, and give him more. And so it's like just a circle.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. The more he does what he does, and the more we learn of him and grow in him, the more we trust, the more we give, and the more he does, and absolutely. And that's really the Christian life, right? It's this consistent, it should be, a consistent climb towards him and affirming who he is and glorifying him and what he's done. And yeah, absolutely, I love that. It's just this reciprocal effect that we have in our relationship with Christ. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I've seen him work. He's got it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stress about it.
I love that.
So, yeah. It's like kind of cool, like living through things.
Yes.
Twice before,
amen.
Know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One of the things great about becoming mature, yes. Seasoned, maybe seasoned, I don't know. I know when you said that, when you're like about getting older, I saw people were like, who's she talking to? Like, I can't relate, Avi. I don't know. I know, yeah. No, amen, amen. But it's true. I mean, that's what the psalmists show us time and again, right? I remember the goodness of the Lord. And when we go back and remember what he has done, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, then we can trust him with tomorrow, right? And no matter what, that's the beautiful thing about that relationship of faith, is we walk by faith and not by sight. And our faith is, if he was good yesterday, he's good today, he'll be good tomorrow. And so, and our faith is not a shot in the dark, it's based on the word of God, right? We have evidence of his goodness, right? All right, well, let's do this. We are so over, so I have our evening and the week ahead. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather around your word. And I thank you, Lord, for your honesty to us, your call to repentance, that if anything, we see in this passage that time is short. Lord, to our understanding, we don't always think so. But as was shared already, as we've grown and as we've gotten older, we've realized how valuable life really is. And moments seem to fly by. And so, Lord, I'm so thankful that we can pause and take advantage of each moment and reflect over how you can be glorified in it. Father, help us to do what you call us to do, to take the burden that you give, which is easy because it's in the finished work of Christ. You've already suffered for our sins, was buried and rose again. And so we have that guarantee of eternal life. And so now we follow Christ. We live for Christ. And yes, there's difficulty to that in this world. But Lord, we know and we rest in the finished work of the cross that you hold all things. And so we're not working and striving for our salvation, but out of our salvation, we're striving to live in a way that would please and honor you. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and how you continue to lead, guide, and direct. And I pray that we would not only take that burden, but we would endeavor to learn of you. Father, followers of Christ, Christians, we should be students of the word. Lord, I'm always amazed at how often as Christians, we tend to struggle with that consistent Bible time, prayer, devotional time, whatever it may be. And we get so busy, Lord, but it's our lifeblood. We need time with you every single day. We have to be in prayer every day because every day brings challenges and difficulties and struggles and trials. And every day you provide the mercy and the grace to endure that day. And Lord, so many believers sever that connection. Not that we lose our salvation, but we sever that intimacy and we cut off the very source of encouragement and equipping that we need. And Lord, I know that it's easy to get tied up in things, but Lord, as followers of Christ, our greatest desire should be for you. And if we do a heart check and anything takes first place above you, we need to repent of that. And we need to put you as number one. And Lord, just spend time with you every day, not as a chore or to check the box, but as an overflow of our love for you. And again, Lord, to learn of you is to grow in devotion to you. But Lord, I know I've struggled in this in my Christian walk. Many others have as well. And I know it's easy to put it on the back burner. But Lord, I believe that when we truly understand the blessing that comes from growing in Christ and learning of you, Lord, there's peace and joy. And there's just a simplified understanding of this life. And I find, Lord, we won't get caught up in all the other things. So many people are consumed with worry and fear and just terrified of every single day. What's going to happen now? But Lord, when our rest and our trust is in you, we don't fear because we know the King of Kings. And we know the one that sets up kingdoms and tears down kingdoms and does it all for his glory. And so, Lord, we joyfully look ahead to this week and anticipate you doing great things, working in mighty ways, and helping us to continue to strive to know you more. Again, we thank you for all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6:45. Don't forget Nerf night. Invite. We'd love to have more kids out. So we'll see you then.